Yes, this is the Narbles and Broomheads podcast, but we are taking a break from reviewing Degrassi episodes. We're going to shift our focus to my so-called life over the next few months. We hope you'll stick around for this journey. If you want to touch base with us, all of the same social media, at Narbos Podcast on Twitter, at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast on Instagram, and narbosandbroomheads @gmail.com if you want to talk to us about my so-called life or come on to an episode. Please let us know. We will get back to Degrassi episodes after we're done reviewing my so-called life in a few months. Don't fear, though, if you're missing that content, we've got well over 150 episodes of Degrassi reviews for you. Head over to anywhere where you listen to your podcasts and go back into our history. Hope you enjoy them, and hopefully you'll enjoy our reviews of my so-called life. Let's do it.
And battlefield for my heart, and it's so weird when you see someone you just dreamed about. Join in Catalano, you lean so cold. Join in Catalano, I'm over you. I'm over, so over you.
Well, hello. My name is Ted. I got your resolutions right here. And the resolutions this week is no girls allowed. We got just the boys. Because you know what the internet needs? A bunch of white dudes in their 40s, cisgender, straight guys talking on the internet. And that's what the fans reached out, and that's what they asked for, and that's what they're going to get this evening or whenever you're listening to this podcast. So like I said, hello, I'm Ted, and we're going to talk about this Narbos and Broomheads, but we're talking about everyone's favorite show, Ted's first time through ever, and we're going to talk about my so-called life. But who are the dudes I'm talking to? Let's see, let's roll that that ball of male masculinity up the road to my friend and yours. Who's this guy?
That would be me, the testosterone filled.
Oh, Barry. Getting pumped.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm here. I'm really excited to have this all male panel to discuss such a fabulous show, and yeah, it's gonna be great. So let's head it on down to Trans-Canada, a bunch of other highways, and eventually we'll get to Toronto. And who do we have there?
Wow, way to not know your highways and cover it up. Trans-Canada and other highways, and boom.
And the 401, I don't know, maybe you're off to 404, 427 to Don Valley, the Gardner, the QEW.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, I'm close to the Don Valley now. I used to be close to the 401. I am no longer that, so take that, the highway. Hi, everybody. I'm Alan. And, yeah, guys, football, chicks, yeah. I don't know what else to say. Let's go to Oakville. Tim.
Everybody, I am the fourth corner of this my so-called sausage party tonight. And here in Oakville, it has been hailing like a sumbitch. So I had to rush outside and pull my car in before it got, I don't know, its windows busted. Because I don't think I've ever seen hail in this city before. So that was my excitement for the night.
We had a downpour here, too. It wasn't hail, though.
Oh, man, it was firing here.
So very recently, they started calling hail grapnel around here. I guess it's two different things.
Really?
So you ever heard the term grapnel?
Is that like a long treat? This is a term you use?
Sounds like something you take for an upset stomach.
Yeah. I think it is. There is a difference. I don't know, Ted, if you can weigh in. But whenever we get that here, they call it grapnel, not hail.
No, that must be over on your neck of the woods. 8 kilometers away.
That's a Portugal thing, not a Torbay thing. Okay.
No, that's right.
I think it's only a word that you use, Barry.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. It's my personal slang.
Trying to make it a thing. I'm going to get gratinol over.
Yeah, I'm getting over, that's right, yeah.
I don't know if in all our time we've ever had an all-male review.
I don't think we have. No.
No.
Yeah. But, you know, as we're saying, time. like, we've been waiting for this. It's Pride Month. I think everyone here is straight, you know?
Perfect.
Yeah, really kick it off with what the people wanted. So the most underrepresented group in history. It's great voices being heard.
Another alternate title for this episode is Oops, All Dudes. So we'll go with that. Do you want to jump into this evening's episode?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay. Let's go right to town. So this one is episode 16 and out of a 19 episode run, I believe, called Resolutions. And it was directed by Patrick Norris. And according to IMDb, everyone's favorite app, he had his episodic directing career began in 1995 with My So-Called Life. I don't know if it was this episode or he did another one, but it was definitely on this show. So he was a newbie.
Well, he started early because this episode came out in like January, what, 4th or 5th? Like it was right away.
Yeah, and if you look at his IMDb, he has pretty much directed like everything that's come across like teenage to early 20-something kind of television.
Oh, yeah, we got Chuck, we got Friday Night Lights, Gossip Girl, The OC, Boston Public, Xena, Warrior Princess, Dawson's Creek, Party of Five, and Chicago Hope.
Chicago. I always love the Chicago.
Oh, yeah. I try to put the R in whenever I can.
I did note.
No, go ahead.
Since I was doing the second half that someone by the name of space_4_more in 2020 called it one of the best episodes of any TV show I've ever seen. and I must add to that just for the sake that tomorrow, 21 years ago tomorrow, The Wire debuted. So I kind of hope this person has found The Wire since 2020 because that show had numerous episodes much better than this one.
No, I think it's good. I think he's right. The internet has spoken.
Yeah. Everybody knows television peaked January 5th, 1995. The peak of television is what they call
it. Off.
Yeah.
And the writer was Ellen Herman, who has been a writer of previous episodes because she was a producer of one Hung, gym teacher with the big old schlong.
Yeah, that's so, Tim's story, as we said before.
I did have to sell the rights, but I made a pretty penny.
And the air date was January 5th, 1995. A young Teddy was in high school and never saw this show. I knew it was a thing. I knew it was on, but never watched it.
Yeah, that show was for chicks, man.
Yeah. Oh, I would have watched it, but I just like, I guess it was all out of order. And I don't know. I don't know why I wasn't into it.
I'd be into it. What's that Canadian one?
Ready or Not?
Yeah, Ready or Not. Yeah, I always mix these two up for some reason.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, like not other than I flick on the TV. I think it was My So-Called Life, but it was actually Ready or Not. Yeah.
I love Ready or Not.
Yeah, with them. Well, I mean, there's plenty of Ready or Not podcasts that we've talked about on this one. So, yeah, go check out. Just type in Ready or Not podcast. You'll get plenty of them, including, I forget, we talked about it in detail, you know, a couple of years ago now, but there was the person who was impersonating what's her name that played Amanda Zim? Bertram was her last name because we were like, it's John Bertram's kid. But anyways, that was amazing. So yeah, Ready or Not.
No, I've never watched Ready or Not, but I did listen to the podcast.
Nice.
It was great.
Yeah.
So we'll open this episode on Dix Clark rocking New Year's Eve countdown. And is playing on the Chase's television. We'll bop around now to the various characters, hearing their internal resolutions. Angela says she's not going to be so introspective in the new year. Sharon, she's no more banging the K-Man. And the K-Man is right next to her, Kyle. And he resolves to spend more time with the dog and Sharon in that order.
I love that.
Kyle, you're somehow my new favorite character.
The rockin' New Year's Eve thing. I mean, again, all of our listeners are old enough to know what this is, of course.
Yes.
If you are younger and, you know, stumbled upon this podcast 20 years from now, it's now hosted by Ryan Seacrest, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And in Dick Clark's later years before he passed away, they'd still call it Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve, but they would not have him on screen until the countdown. And then they would roll Dick Clark out to count down from 20, and he would be like totally off sync with how time works.
It was a rough watch.
Yeah, and like missing numbers and like 20 seconds of just like, for some people, probably like horror, for others, comedy. But yeah. Yeah. And like the ball would drop and everyone would be celebrating, and he'd be like, so yeah.
And Dick Clark was known for never getting old until he got so old he died.
Very true. Exactly. Time always wins.
We have Mr. Kaminsky. We go over to him, and we're jumping to households. And he says to give up coffee. But I'm like, it's New Year's, not Lent, you dope. Why are you doing that? Don't give up something you like. Why do that? Krakow, to stop obsessing about Angela. Danielle, to badger her mother into letting her wear makeup. Ricky, to find a place where he belongs. And it comes back to Angela, and she thinks she needs to rethink her resolution. Oh, come on, Angela. Rayanne, to stop drinking for real. Patty, to lighten up, to be more supportive less suspicious. And
work.
Even by her saying that, there's something so grating about that. Like, oh, can you be more uppity about this, Patty? You're trying to be a better person, and somehow you're worse. Graham is to tell Hallie Lowenthal that he's not going into business with her, and he needs to stop having long chats after class. And probably the cherry on top of all this, it cuts to Jordan Catalano at a stoplight, and he says, "Wait, isn't tonight's New Year's Eve?" And so he is out at 12 o'clock, and he this is beyond any reason how stupid Jordan Catalano is.
I would appreciate Jordan Catalano if he talked a lot more like Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So New Year's hits. Ricky, Angela, and Rayanne are sitting on the couch. And, okay, question. They don't stand up. I don't think I have ever done a New Year's Eve without standing. Or is that just me? I've never been sitting. Like, you stand up when it's New Year's Eve. You do the countdown. You're around the TV. Or fireworks are going off. Anyways.
Never just watching it alone with a pizza. Never. Never have I done that with no friends. Not once.
Happy New Year's, pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, come here. Come to daddy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Smoochie, smoochie.
So they give each other New Year's smooches. And that's it. So next morning, I think this is the next morning, Ricky is running the Chase kitchen and he's serving up food and they're all happy to have Ricky around. Grandma's walking around with a plate eating and he's talking like he's a real animal. Like he's just, I got an issue about that. Patty's all about Ricky and they joke that they should adopt him. She's concerned that they haven't heard from his aunt in a week. And Angela and Ricky go to school, but then he comes back in because he forgot his copy of the Odyssey. But he overhears Patty and Graham talking about him not being able to stay there forever. Unfortunately, he missed the first part. Wah, wah.
Well, we just went over this in the Christmas episode from last week. So in the Christmas episode from last week, the parents outright make the decision that they're not going to take Ricky in.
Mm-hmm.
And we shat all over them throughout the episode for that terrible decision that they made. And then, of course, at the end of the episode, I guess they make amends by taking Ricky in. And now he's been there for a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we just go back to this. Like,
well, and to be honest, making their house a better, well-run machine.
Yeah. Like, it's going to cost you a little bit more money to feed the guy, but like, he's clearly contributing around the house, probably more than Angela, mm-hmm. who I'm sure does fucking nothing.
Guaranteed,
right?
More than Angela.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, there's no way Angela's fucking clearing the table and doing dishes, right? Ricky is doing all that stuff. And so, yeah, like he's earning his keep, but anyways, we'll get through further poor decisions about this child by the Chase parents as we go through this episode.
I'm assuming this is a few days later, because if not, this is New Year's Day that everybody goes back to school.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Right.
It doesn't differentiate. It doesn't say a week later. So this is January 1st, 1995, and everybody has to go to school
and work.
And work. So I guess it was a fairly low key New Year's.
Uh-huh.
So in Mr. Kaminsky's class, he asks if anybody started the Odyssey, and he gets crickets. So he's jonesing for a coffee. So he just gave up coffee, he said, because he hasn't had one in 12 hours. So assuming this is New Year's Day, they're in class. He writes on the board, what does Odysseus want? He calls on Ricky, and Ricky blanks, and the bell rings, says a two-pager is due tomorrow. Did any of y'all read The Odyssey?
I did not. Did you?
No.
I did. Thank you for asking.
I know the story. I know the story from enough, but I never actually read the original book.
I did Greek mythology and Roman. Yeah, Roman and Greek mythology in university.
Do you think?
I was like, yeah.
Do you think that they regretted giving this teacher the name? What was his name? Kaminsky.
Kaminsky.
Kaminsky. I don't know, because all I think about is Ted Kaczynski. Like, I'm like, if they had only waited, you know, another year before Kaczynski, like, you know, the Unabomber, right?
Yeah.
It came out. They would have been like, let's go with another name. Like, Mr. Smith would have been fine.
So out in the parking lot, Jordan is on the back of his car. They have the top down crushing darts, and Angela is doing the homework in the back seat. And he says he thinks it's wrong that she's doing his homework because he feels like he's taking advantage of her because they're like, you know, now just friends. Jordan,
right after we're still going out.
Jordan takes his books and takes off, and Angela's proud of herself that she stuck to her resolution for once. I guess I don't know. I don't understand it. I think it's because she's not overthinking it because he's like, it's so weird. We're not going out.
Well, it's like, I'm not fucking you, so you can't do my homework. Like,
yeah.
Like, does he think, like, she owes him homework for his dick? Like, I don't, you know. Oh, you do homework, but I give no dick. Not fair. I don't know.
Also, wasn't it New Year's Eve last night? Is it weird that we're in school? Isn't that like a federal holiday and stuff? You're like, Jordan, that's actually quite insightful. Are you the only sane one here? So we see Sharon in the school hallway, and she sees Kyle and his football friends. And then to avoid his gaze, she ducks into the AV room where Rayanne is over the clothes riding a guy with a wonderful Clockwork Orange bowler hat on. So this weird alternate universe. So strange.
Rayanne just doesn't give a shit.
She really doesn't.
Neither does anybody else, because Sharon goes into the room, sees True. These two making out, and is like, I'm going to stay. And then Kyle follows her into the room and is confronting her, and they see Rayanne in the sky, and he's like, well, I will also stay. Like,
yeah.
If I open the door into a room and people are fooling around, I'm getting the fuck out of there.
So, Tim, is this a common thing in your school, where people are just making out in different rooms?
Well, I mean, how many times a day do you think I see it?
That's 20? Not a fair question.
Yeah.
Seriously, no. It's not a common thing at all. although funny enough, now that we have all gendered washrooms, which is we've converted, like, on every one of our floor there were two individual staff washrooms, and now one of those washrooms is a gender neutral or all gender washroom that kids can go use. There has been some shenanigans that have been taking place in those washrooms from time to time.
Sounds
but
like
I have
students?
Not fucked in on
Sound
it.
Sound like someone's anti-neutral, gender-neutral washrooms.
Uh-oh. Well,
ever since those washrooms, grades have been going down, more drugs. Come on.
Dot, shenanigans.
Yeah.
Shenanigans.
I think you're just upset because you have one less washroom for the teachers.
You know what? It is true, though. With a staff of 100, you don't have a lot of washroom space.
Yeah, like, what am I going to do, piss next to one of my students? Ugh. Come on.
Yeah.
What am I going to wear, a diaper?
Don't make me. Well, it's fine.
Not in the contract.
So, Bowler Hat and Rayanne go back to making out, and Kyle comes in, and old Malcolm McDowell exits saying, later, Graf, this place is getting too crowded. So weird. Kyle and Sharon have a chat, and he professes her love to Sharon, to which Rayanne laughs at first, and then he kisses Sharon and leaves. And Rayanne is like, I don't know what Rayanne's thinking. She's kind of like gobsmacked over this.
You know, it's funny because when we last left Kyle and Sharon, it was at the dance episode where, remember when Kyle was staring up Ricky and Delia dancing?
Seemed like in Delia, yeah.
And I speculated that he was staring at Delia, and the rest of the podcast speculated that he was looking at Ricky. And now I guess we've just dropped any semblance of that storyline. I don't know.
He was staring into the middle distance. Because I'm he's stupid.
Yeah.
He was thinking about his dog.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we have Hallie and Graham, and they're leaving class with a bunch of materials in their arms. And he says he's not into the restaurant, and she doesn't really listen and talks about the location she scouted out. It has a fountain, which may or may not work, which we'll find out, I guess.
Okay, so aside from not being Patty, mm-hmm. what is appealing about this woman?
She's a lot. I guess she's a lot. I don't know. Is that...
Like, I feel like they're trying, like, the idea is, like, we're going to make her fascinating to Graham. And I'm, like, obnoxious. Like, that's all it is. Obnoxious.
Mm-hmm. I would say she's fairly attractive.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe that's the pull for him. I don't know. Her hair covers her ears.
Yeah. Why couldn't we just stop at what you first said? Not Patty.
Yeah, that's what he actually calls her.
That answer.
He's like, I want to open a restaurant with you, not Patty.
You actually listen to me, not Patty.
Mm-hmm. Which she does
more. She's actually showing interest. I think that's all it is.
Uh-huh. Maybe
that somebody.
I think she's just a bit like over the top, like a bit wild, and
complete opposite.
Yeah, like Patty is so extremely buttoned down. I think Graham stopped. Like evolving since he started going out with Patty. Not Patty's fault, not Patty blaming here, but he is this, he's like a teenage kid with Hallie. So he almost reverted to what he was before he got a family and had kids and married and all that stuff. That's what I pick up from it.
But like, it's not like Graham can't get ladies. He was with, remember, at the start of the series?
Well, maybe that's something else they forgot completely about.
Yeah. Like, it's not like, yeah, Graham has been, like, devoid of women for the last, like, number of years that he's been with Patty. It's clearly that it's something he's at least contemplated anyways.
Yeah. And that comes up later in the episode because Neil kind of steps in it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Dumb brother Neil.
Oh, what a dunce.
Uh-oh. I fixed your stereo. Okay, I think that was going to burn down. Thanks, Neil. You big dummy. So we have Danielle is sticking to her resolution, and we cut to her badgering Patty about wearing lipstick. Danielle's looking for the parameters around lipstick. And I said, I did have to laugh at this because she said, can I wear it for fun? And then can I wear it for fun and then go for pizza, or wear it and then go take a walk, or just wear it in the driveway? I thought that was pretty great. Graham enters and says he's late because he's talking to Hallie and he's not going to do the restaurant. Patty says, good. And Graham, who doesn't have a mind his own, says, that's what you wanted me to tell her, right? Graham, what are you doing, man?
I couldn't.
Do it, man.
Come on, it's the life he's used to. He's always got to ask.
But both of them in this fucking conversation, right? I'm not going to do the restaurant. That's what you wanted, right? Yeah, that is what I wanted. If that's okay with you, right? Blah, 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 blah. Fuck off.
Infuriating.
Yeah.
Two of these interact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just bad on both sides. Now, Ricky saves day by coming downstairs, and Graham's like, Ricky, hey, bud. And he says that he's going home. Patty and Graham are surprised he's leaving. He says Tino's there to pick him up.
No. And
Ricky says it's all resolved while stammering, and you know that's not true. He makes a quick exit. Ricky stands on the porch for a second and then goes off into the night.
And Patty and Graham, like, here, massive fail, right? They haven't talked to the aunt and uncle. So,
no.
So, for the last week, and clearly longer than that, aunt and uncle have let Ricky roam the streets, go to a shelter, don't give a fuck about calling or checking in on him. And now all of a sudden he's like, all better. And Patty and Graham are like, cool.
Yeah, like, it's odd that, yeah, you never once talked to the aunt and uncle the entire time he stayed with you.
Yeah, like, we're not going to have one conversation and checking in on this, like, nothing. We're just going to
by the way, we found your kid, or your nephew.
Well, and, like, I get that they, like, they make faces at each other like they don't totally believe Ricky, but also act like, well, we're powerless, like, we can do nothing. And, I mean, they're not going to confine him to the house, but you could pursue this more aggressively, right?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you should a little bit be more aggressive. The kid's only, what, 15 or 16?
Yes. Yeah.
Not 19. Yeah.
But on their side, it's not like their house has windows in the front that they could actually look out the window, see if he's actually picked up or if he goes walking down the street alone. Uh-huh. It's not like, you know, what are they? What are they, rich? What are you, crazy? Come on. So Mr. Kamitsky's class, everyone is passing their papers and Ricky's asleep on the desk after class when the bell rings. Kamitsky asks if he gave up caffeine too. Ricky makes excuse as why he didn't complete the assignment, and he says, oh, the bad move, because you never involve somebody else in your lie. Angela's little sister had to go to the ER. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Angela comes looking for Ricky, and Mr. Kamitsky asks how her sister is doing, and Angela totally no-sells it. Doesn't pick it up, just screws up her face.
Uh-huh. Can't even pick up the signal.
Nope.
No. Ricky runs out, and Angela tells him that tells Mr. Kamitsky that Rayanne's really concerned about him, and Mr. K catches up with Angela, and she says that he's back with his family. However, she goes to propose a hypothetical that there is someone who is really smart but is not doing well in school, especially English, and he guides her to the tutoring sign-up sheet, and she signs up Jordan Catalano. So I don't know if Mr. Kamitsky thinks that that's – like, we shift gears pretty quickly. To say, well, does he think it's like Ricky? Because Ricky has bigger issues.
Yeah. I don't really know. I mean, yeah, he's really quick to go to the sign-up sheet. I do love how, like, I mean, I guess it's not uncommon, right? But it's like, just let the students fix the students' problems, right? Like, teachers are like, other students will handle this if you're struggling. So, but yeah, he may think it's Ricky. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
He should be concerned about Jordan. I'm sure Jordan's not fucking fully at attention in his classes either, right?
Yeah, but no. Probably by this point, he's like, you know what? I'm getting nowhere with Jordan.
Yeah, he just gave up.
Yeah.
What's in English?
We got gym class, and Sharon and Rayanne are talking. They're sit-up partners, and Rayanne is reliving the Kyle-Sharon moment of the professing of the love. And she's all about it. Sharon gives her the whole history, and Rayanne is all about the good time and can't get the guy who she's with his name right. And she's, she can't figure it out. But she's also all about the movie A River Runs Through It. as Rayanne knows it, that movie with all the fishing in it. And I go, yeah, because pretty much the only thing I can remember from that movie is the poster that my friend had in his room. It's like, and it was just like a fly fishing.
That's all I know.
Yeah.
I've never seen the movie.
No, me either.
Nope.
I don't think I did. What was the one where Brad Pitt fought a bear and cut his claw off? Is that A River Runs Through It, or is that something else? Anyways, write in. Narbos and Broomheads at Gmail. Is that the movie I'm thinking about?
That's what happens at fishing trips.
Of course it does. At least here it does.
The question is, how many do you cut off?
Mm-hmm. And so Sharon resolves to tell Kyle the truth and also not to do it again, to do it until she's in love. Because she's like, they've been visiting Pound Town on the reg.
She's pictured him as being Brad Pitt the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's what she's using him for.
It's weird.
And I think he's okay with that.
Yeah. Well, he should be, but
yes.
I think that it's a little bit weird that like Sharon has such an intense, like specifically Brad Pitt fetish. Like not only does she want to watch the movies and just be into Brad Pitt, but she needs Kyle to come over and give her dick when it happens.
I must say Brad Pitt was number one on my wife's list. I mean, number two after me, but
uh-huh.
One B, I guess we could say.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, would you rent Brad Pitt movies just to make sure that you scored?
Well, at that, I mean, you know, if I knew that at the time, I mean, probably.
Uh-huh. Like, why do we keep watching?
Advantage is an advantage.
Why do you keep making me watch Moneyball, Tim? Like, come on.
Funny enough, she actually, now that you say that, I never even put it together. We went to watch Moneyball in the theaters, and my wife doesn't watch movies in general very much, nor let alone sports movies. And we came out of that movie, and she goes, that movie was actually not too bad. I never even thought that.
There you go. Now you know why.
Well, holy shit. We're going to have a chat tonight.
So you feeling amorous? No, but I really think I love the Oakland A's.
Who, by the way, in a couple of weeks will be the team that is in Toronto the weekend you guys are here.
Ooh.
Oh my God, they're going to get fucking like ripped apart.
Oh, the A's suck.
They're like historically bad this year. It's great. Watch, the Jays will lose a game we go to. Just
probably,
for us.
They'll lose the fucking series.
Yeah.
I assume Jose Canseco still plays with them. Last I checked in, he was still with
the
team.
Yeah, Bash Brothers.
Bash Brothers.
He might be able to hit better than many they got.
Yeah, Dave Stewart, Ricky Henderson, Bash Brothers. Well, who was there? Was it? What was their name? Their manager? Yeah, Eckersley. Yeah.
Dave Stewart.
Oh, fantastic.
Dave Henderson, Carney Lansford.
I got the poster on my wall with they got the cars on the baseball diamond, and I think big bats, and they're dressed in suits, but. That was back in the day because there was all these posters where they couldn't use the team logos. Uh-huh. So they just had strange things of like the people. Uh-huh. It's a whole thing.
This is how bad it's getting in Oakland during their home game. Someone jumped on the field, ran the bases, and nobody stopped him.
Yeah.
Just like, you know what? This is more excitement than our team's putting. Let's have it.
Give that kid a contract.
Yeah. Hey, let's time him.
Maybe as well.
So he's doing money bob on him.
Yeah, he got on base. He gets on base.
That's right. Anyway.
Tony La Russa was the coach's name. I had to look it up.
Yep. Yeah, that's it.
Ooh. So at the restaurant location, Hallie and Graham have a tour of the empty place, and she tells him, she starts talking about Brad a lot, which is a bit weird, and she says that he thinks that Graham is so into it that if it doesn't work, he's going to kill himself for something else. And I noted, fuck, she's weird.
Yes.
Like, yeah, we all know. That's a weird thing to say. Like, this is Fatal Attraction styles right here. Yeah.
We all know Arlo's feelings on how this restaurant's going to do. And they're really choosing quite a large looking building for their first restaurant.
Well, not only that. So there's this fucking statue that she referenced that's in there, right? Like, I guess it's neat to have a statue in there, but you know, when I'm picking a restaurant, I'm not like, let's go to the one with a statue. Like, if it's got a great statue, who gives a shit about the food or the service, right? But the other one that got me, and again, maybe this is a thing from the 90s and earlier, because it is certainly not a thing from the 90s and later. How many restaurants do you go to with a dance floor? Because Hallie is like, this is where we could have the dance floor.
I always love going out and dancing after I've just filled my stomach with food.
I'm trying to think. I'm going to have to ask my parents, like, did you ever, you know, maybe it was like, you know, ballroom style dancing. Like, I'm sure that at some point in time was a thing.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, like no fucking dance floor.
It's even got a dance floor.
I have never, ever in my life been to it. Now, again, I say this as somebody who goes to like, you know, Denny's, but I've never been to a restaurant ever in my life that had a dance floor.
It's all over the place. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Uh-huh. And if it was a ballroom dancing restaurant, that would be 50-50 of what it is. Like, you'd be just as concerned with the getting into the ballroom dancing. But they would have to be into it themselves, too, in order to – that's a whole crowd. Like, that's a whole, like, culture.
Yeah.
Question for the group. If you go into an establishment where there's lots of women dancing – in various amounts of clothing, and they also serve food there. Does that count?
I don't know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Me neither. Just made it up. I don't know.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hypothetical.
Just hypothetically speaking.
I still don't know what the fuck kind of restaurant this is.
I don't know.
Right? Like, Graham, we haven't established what kind of food Graham is good at, right? It's just like, Graham makes food. He's good at it. Now there's a space. Maybe this can be our restaurant. She's got no one else with her, right? Like, you don't go in with your employee unless you're trying. Like, is she trying to? Well, we know she's not trying to bilk him out of money. So,
no.
Like, I don't know. This whole restaurant thing, I mean, we've already established this. It's so fucking stupid.
It's weird, actually. I just got a text from Arlo, and she said, "Hey, Ted, if you're on the podcast tonight, tell everyone I made a mistake. Anyone could get into the restaurant business, period. It's easy. All you need to do is serve them food and especially have a dance floor." Oh, that's weird. Thanks, Arlo. That's Arlo writing in. She's not even on the podcast this evening, but she wrote in, which is very thoughtful of her.
Sounds,
thank you.
Sounds like her.
Yeah. All they got to and all they got to do is believe in themselves.
Yes,
that's all. That's just what she tagged at the end. Hashtag believe in yourself, and you'll be good. Hallie stating that she is going to do it either way, and she wants him, Graham, to join. And Brad also thinks that Graham will cave at the last minute and join the project. Graham is unsure and exits.
You know, all these mentions of Brad, like in this episode when we meet him and blah, blah, blah. Like, they may as well just be like, yeah, Hallie's who's not going to fuck Graham because she's with Brad. Not going to fuck Graham here because she's with Brad. Not going to hit on Graham. Because Brad, not going to fuck Graham.
Mm.
Absolutely not. Like, really, really hitting it home. Oh, no, she's with Graham. So, or Brad. So, absolutely not going to fuck Graham. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's not coming.
I have a boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would have been great if Brad Pitt made a cameo here.
Sharon's like, Sharon, I'm with Brad too.
Yeah. My name's Kyle. Shut up.
So we're at the Chases and Graham's brother Neil. He's fixing the stereo and rewiring, putting, just sticking them.
What's wrong with the stereo? Like, what can be wrong with this that he needs to come
like,
what could have went wrong that he's just doing
so,
that?
So apparently Graham put the wires in the wrong holes. But wouldn't that be the first thing you would do? Like, you keep changing it and going, okay, now it works.
Couldn't get the Neil for his speakers, right?
Yeah, and Neil laughs like he's the pro.
You go, what? And is this like a brand new stereo? Because once it's working, you're not going to mess around with the wires for any reason.
I don't get this one either. Like, they don't understand. And again, it's not like the stereo is broken, right? You have to open the fucking machine up and fix wiring inside it, right? It is literally what we've plugged into the wrong place. And we are so inept with this that you have to call the brother and be like, I can't even wait for you to, to come here when your brother's here to visit. You need to come over now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, did the writer's room think that, like, fixing a toilet or the sink had just been played out too much in television? That, like, we got to go to the next level
for stereo?
This? Mm-hmm. I got it. Stereo.
Mm-hmm. The VCR keeps blinking. 8888. What are we going to do? Yep.
So in the kitchen, Patty and Neil talk about the restaurant idea, which Neil doesn't know anything about, or he says he doesn't know anything about it. When Patty mentions Hallie, Neil makes the ultimate, like, fuck up and says, which woman is this? And you go, no.
Oh.
And Patty says, Hallie. Like, and he says, Hallie? When, like, he repeats it back to her, like, the first word he's ever spoken in his life. Patty goes on to explain, and Neil is so bad at acting. It's almost like this news hurts him. Like, what? What's happening?
Uh-huh.
And Neil says, was her name again Holly? And he finally agrees. Oh, yeah, actually, it's Hallie. But Patty has like a semi like Kaiser Soze moment of putting this all together, that there is something amiss. Like, she has been suspicious for a reason. Graham comes home and Patty excuses herself to go upstairs. Graham asks Neil, said, what did you say to her? And Neil asks, what did you do? And Graham says nothing. And then he says, shut up. And then he says nothing. So you guys are terrible. The old school disgusting brothers.
Oh, you like, even though I really couldn't give a fuck about Graham or Patty or any of this, the moment where Patty mentions Hallie and he says, you know, the woman, and when Neil says which woman, like, I think I audibly gasped. I was like, oh no, like, the worst two words that you could have said right there.
The worst.
Yeah. And we know when the brother leaves the house, he exhales and he goes,
oh, nailed. Fuck.
Got out of that one.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to go walk into the ocean now.
I remember when I'll give you a situation where I like couldn't think on the fly to bail my friend out. It wasn't a woman situation. Mm-hmm. But a friend of mine had a job that he only had for like 2 weeks and then decided to quit, right? And it was because he wasn't in school. And I called his house once and his dad picked up and I was like, oh, is he, you know, is he there? And the dad was like, no, I think he's at work. And I was like, oh, did he start another job?
Yeah, just a quit job.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Oops. Yep.
I mean, wrong number.
This isn't where I parked my car.
Yeah, so, yeah, I fucked up before.
So, back at school, Angela is apologizing to Jordan for signing him up for tutoring without his knowledge. And they go to the list, and Jordan is signed up. Oh, fuck, this is another, like, this has to be the dumbest Jordan Catalano has ever been. Because he goes, Brain Krakow?
I thought it was fantastic.
Love it.
Brain?
Yeah, oh, no, I'm saying it's great.
Brain?
Brain? And then he so Krakow comes up from behind, and Angela and Jordan are still looking at the list, and Jordan turns around and goes, are you Brain? Like, Brain. She says it too.
I have not been a fan of Jordan, like, throughout the series. Yeah. And, like, I almost wish that there was another season of this. And they just, like, you know, remember in the first season, The Simpsons, where, like, Homer was kind of dimwitted, but also, like, not just a fucking idiot. And then
he was more just angry.
Yeah. And then they turned him into a complete idiot, and the show took off after that. That's. Yeah. What should have happened with Jordan, where he's just full-on fucking idiot.
Well, I'd like to point out, if we want to fast forward a little bit, that later Brian says he doesn't have the skills to help Jordan, and Jordan can't even read his name. I think he's got the skills to help him.
I love how, and like, Jordan has hung out with Brian before. Yeah. He may not know his name, but they've hung out.
Yes.
Like, not only does he say, like, are you... Yes. Brain, but he says it to him like he's never seen Jordan in his life. Like, he wouldn't be like, or he's never seen Brian in his life, right? Like, it's not like he's like, wait a second, oh wait, you're Brain,
you're Brain,
you know? Yeah.
And written words are different than heard words, and he thinks that there's a kid at the school named Brain, like the dog from Inspector Gadget. Kenny's dog. Like, what is going on?
Yes. I like how we've gone from, like, Jordan's really trying, and, like, we've seen he can read, right? Like, there's an episode called Why Jordan Can't Read, but he's actually reading. He's just having a hard time with it because he's got some sort of learning disability, I guess, right?
And he lost the greatest teacher ever.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, what a lesson to people about learning disabilities, right? Where it's like, in one episode, you're... You know, you've got a challenge, but you're going to try to overcome it and work really hard. And then later you're just a fucking imbecile.
You got dumber by
Brain? Krakow? It's fabulous.
You don't know it's New Year's Eve. Like you're on the street going, where is everybody? This is so weird. Everything's closed.
Maybe in the Christmas episode he thought he was in his house when he was in the basement of the school.
Yes, I too wish this had have gone on for longer. Like, his bottom of the barrel intelligence. It would have been great. So Mr. Kibitsky he's riling up the drama nerds, and they're all screaming and doing their foolishness. Was anybody a drama kid? Like, we didn't have drama in our high school. We had basketball, and that was it. So, was anybody into drama in high school?
I was a band kid. We did have drama in our high school, and so there was like crossover for hanging out with the drama kids, but we did not have drama, or I was not in drama, but my Sarah's kid is in drama at high school, and I went to arts night like a week ago, and the drama kids all like from the different grades went up and did like each a 3 or 4 minute thing. And you know, you think, is it going to be a play, you know, but instead it was like, it was basically like moving art. Like, you know, they go up and like stand in different, like move their arms around in sequence and all this stuff. But the soundtrack was like fucking Let's Go Crazy by Prince. And,
you know,
I think Aha was part of it. And I was like, well, at least the teachers know who these people's parents are.
yes.
But like the screaming thing, I would, if having not seen that, I would have been like, why are they just screaming? Like, why aren't they acting? And then after seeing this thing a week ago, I'm like, oh, I get it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't. I just can't. I actually, when I was in university, I did it. I started a course teaching through drama. Ooh. And I think I lasted a class. Because we were like at the first of the class, like, okay, everybody, you're down on the ground, you're in a mine, and this guy like had that wicked Hamlet haircut, this old like artsy fartsy like drama dude, and he's like, okay, you're down in a tunnel and you're digging, and I said something like, well, I have a pick or something, and he's like, no, you do not, you do not have a pick, and I just went in my head, fuck this, like I am getting out of this class as soon as I can, and then left the class directly and dropped the course and actually picked up another course, which actually had way more to do with my future job, so it was actually a good thing.
I didn't have a drama situation, but something similar. I took a class that was, it was like political philosophy, and I was a poli sci major, and I guess in the school, it could be counted as a poli sci or a philosophy credit, and every year it would switch between like who taught it, and I was unfortunate enough to go in when it was a philosophy course, and there was like discussions about all sorts of bullshit during the class, and the moment for me was when one student was like, yeah, but do rabbits have a history?
Oh, my Lord.
I was done. Like, nope.
Helen points at the person and goes, nope, done.
Yep.
That was like me too, actually, funny enough. When I was in university, we had a first semester calculus, and you had the choice of two different calculuses for second semester. And I was a really studious kid, I would say, going into university. So I took the harder of the two second semester calculuses. And I was sitting in there, I still remember first day, and the professor started talking about how there would be projects, to which in the middle of project, you could probably hear my chair back up and me walk out in the middle of that to go to the easier of the two calculuses, which did not have projects.
Uh-huh.
Barry, doing projects in math.
Barry, did you drop any classes because of a moment?
No, but I was in drama in high school.
Oh, look at you.
We only had it when I was in grade 8, and what happened was I missed the bus. My dad was a teacher in the school, so and the principal was the drama teacher as well. So I was walking the halls, and the principal was like, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I missed the bus." He goes, "Okay, you can come join the drama club." So that's how I got involved in drama. We did a play. It was based on Macbeth. It was called Retribution, based on the tragedy of Macbeth. I had one line, and it was, "The queen, my lord, is dead."
Ooh, that's a good line.
That's an important one. You gotta have that one.
Yeah, if she's not dead, there's no play.
Yeah,
that's right. That's true. Yeah, yeah. I won various awards.
Also then, inspired by the Crisscross song.
Yes.
I missed the bus.
Yeah, I remember that. And then they said, and then I had to join the drama club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how it is. Daddy and Daddy Mac.
And then they got. Like, they just dropped drama altogether in your school?
Yeah, well, the principal got retired, and I guess nobody picked up the mantle from him, so that was it for drama.
No more drama.
There is no more drama in Torbay. The principal is retired.
Yeah. We actually went to the whole provincials and everything, so we didn't win. Ooh. Can't remember who won.
Bury the lead. Bury.
We actually, they did a seminar. They were doing all these seminars, and one of the seminars was Mary Walsh and Greg Malone from CODCO, which probably means something dead.
Wow.
Holy shit.
So, yeah.
What life could have been.
But yeah, I didn't get the acting bug. That was it for me in drama.
You made a difference.
Yeah, I made sure I was 5 minutes early for the bus from that point on.
Decided to be a jock instead, right?
That's right, yeah. The volleyball came calling.
That's right. So Mr. Kamitsky, he's riling up them students, and Ricky's in the hall on the payphone. And probably talking to the operator, who is telling him that the number he called for, I guess his aunt, he's dialed, is out of service, and he's talking back and forth. He's trying to figure it all out, and Mr. K comes out into the hall, and he's concerned about Ricky.
Unfortunately, I don't think there's much to figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy that like his aunt and uncle would just fuck off and not even tell him.
Well, yeah. And again, like, shame on the fucking Chase parents, right? Like,
well, you would have thought they would have got a sense that something was up at some point by the time he was staying with them.
Again, remember, Patty is over at Amber's place the yes. moment that she thinks there's a problem with Rayanne, but doesn't.
Yeah.
Hey, Ricky, what's your aunt and uncle's number? Maybe we should talk to them. Maybe they should come over. Like, maybe right, anything.
This boy who had his face pounded in.
Yeah.
And never mm-hmm. had a sense of caring.
Yeah, and you've been here for a week, and no, and they haven't asked about you. Like, we, it's not like they had a conversation at the start with the aunt and uncle who are like, yeah, like, fuck it, he can stay there. Right? There's been no contact. And
zero.
Yeah. So, yeah. Fuck it, Ricky. Out on his own again. Great.
Riding the rails, I guess.
Yeah, he should meet up with the Littlest Hobo. Ricky and Littlest Hobo adventures.
Yeah, the Littlest Hobo would have saved the day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Littlest Hobo is like, do you want to be called Ricky or Enrique? Like, what the fuck is this dog talking? I think I'm on drugs.
I was trying to think. There had to be a Wheels Ricky connection that we could have made or something.
Well, they're both in the rain with nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Ricky went to sleep on Snake's porch.
Ricky called his grandma and was like, I can't stay in a homeless shelter. Yes, you can. Bag. It's for a place where no one, you don't have anywhere to go. Yeah.
Your bag.
I miss that old bag.
But yeah, poor Ricky, out again.
So that's the end of part one. We're gonna stop it right there, because there is the second part of this episode coming up. And yeah, any final thoughts on this?
I don't think much has happened yet, to be honest. I feel like this is sort of where the wheels are kind of starting to spin, but.
Yeah, save final thoughts for the end, but overall, I did really enjoy this episode. I must say, I thought it was one of the stronger ones of the whole series thus far.
I like that they're getting into Ricky's backstory now, right? Yeah. Like, you've gone a dozen episodes and know that shit's up, but we haven't really gotten into it. And then we don't even kind of, like, ease our way into it. In the last two episodes, like, literally the last episode started with Ricky face-planting in the ground with a bloody face. Like, so...
He's had a time.
Yeah, so we're deep into the Ricky storyline now, which is good, you know?
Yeah, I didn't think this character would grow on me as much as it has, but I always knew that it was sort of like he's like maybe the character that came out of the show to some extent. And you can kind of see why now. You are sort of drawn into this kid's story.
Yeah. And I like that, I think they could have done better with this. Like, I believe it on the Angela front, again, with the parents front, I'm not buying it so much, but... The whole idea of, you know, your parents and your child is, you know, pretty typical suburban, like, safe life, and yet is in a situation where you're starting to meet people who have, like, shit going down, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so how do you deal with that? What do you do in those situations? Like, what do you learn from it, et cetera, et cetera? So, again, I think given more time, it would have been cooler to keep exploring this. I know they run out of time very quickly, but I like that we got into that with Rayanne not too long ago, and now we're there with Ricky, so that works.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll say we wrap this first part up with a bow. Why not?
Oh, one more question I should ask, though, as we go into the next week. Like, I'm assuming that Mr. Katimsky goes home to his wife and talks about the situation that happens at school, right?
Yeah.
He must, right?
A real American man.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So, yeah, that's mm-hmm. that would be my guess for the next episode. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'll be surprised or not.
Yeah. And definitely not L.L. Bean Vladimir Putin. Stay tuned next time to see if that's true.
Uh-huh.
It is. It's L.L. Bean Vladimir Putin. All right, let's roll this baby up the road. Who do we got on the pod?
It's
Monfreund. Who's that guy?
It's me. It's me. It's Barry. You can follow me on the Twitter. I'm allowed to do that now, right? We're at the end. I can do the plugs.
Yeah, it's Courtney. She's not on.
Hey, we can do it at the beginning. She's not here. Halfway through. Yell at us.
No chicks. Yeah.
No, ma'am. Yeah. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, Barry R. Flynn, and let's send it to Alan.
Yeah, let's do all the plugs. Narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com if you want to write us. Hit us up on Twitter. Yes, we're still there at Narbos Podcast. on Instagram, which is better at Narbos, and Broomheads Podcast. I don't do anything on TikTok anymore. So there's that. I'm Slip with Five Eyes or Slip. And just so everybody knows, like, we are going through episode 16 right now. So we are no more than, what, 7 weeks after this away from being done my so-called life. So if you've been enjoying the journey, then keep enjoying. If you are ready for something different, then something different is coming. I think it's going to be going back to Degrassi. No one is making decisions right now. But, you know, we'll figure it out. So if you have any thoughts, hit us up and let us know. Let's go to Oakville.
You can follow me as a new Instagram person at folly_t on Instagram. I probably won't really look at it. I don't really understand it, but I'm going to give it a whirl because Twitter is a cesspool.
Okay, Dad. Yeah. Oh, what's this Instagram?
It's like my mom. Yeah. There's no picture.
I don't understand it either, but I'm not going to say that now.
And I have been Teddy. So we've had a slice. We hope that you've had several slices. And I guess what we'll do is we'll see you next time on Narbos and Broomheads show.
Peace.
Later.
Don't you dare miss it.
Baby.
Well, I just said I don't get my love. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the gap naked just to get to my dreams. Everyone thinks